Okay, this weekend we've been fellowshipping a little bit regarding a recent conference that took place. What was it, last weekend?
Two weekends ago.
Okay, it was in Taipei, and I was a blessed participant. Well, I was able to go and join with the brothers. And this morning, actually, I'd like to share one testimony. It's my third time to visit Taiwan. I went once in 1988, and that was actually kind of a key deciding time in my life. Right after I came back, I decided to begin to serve full-time after that visit in Taiwan. Then I got to visit again in 2003, but that was 12 years ago. And I was very touched by the brothers from Taiwan. Their testimony is that they practice what the Bible says. You know, the Bible says that we should follow closely the healthy teaching. So I began to notice over the last few years, these brothers, they follow closely. And they actually pay a price to follow closely, because most of the conferences and trainings are not in the Far East, but are here in this country. So it involves paying a price, financial dollars, and a little price on traveling. It's not that easy, as I found out again this time. It's not that easy to travel. I had a little bit of a similar kind of experience that our brother Ronnie had when he came to Chicago 38 years ago. I had a similar experience this time when I went to Taiwan. Anyway, I was so touched when I was there, even in the midst of getting sick. What a shepherding care I experienced from the saints in Taiwan. Anyway, it was a real genuine manifestation of Christ being exhibited by the saints and by the churches. And one thing is very healthy. I learned this a few years ago when something went on in my body or didn't go on so well, and that is called circulation. Circulation is very key to your health. And we found out that here practically about 7 or 8 years ago during a time of turmoil, one of the main reasons that turmoil comes in to the churches is because there's a lack of circulation. So what is circulation? Circulation is within the body. You think if your bloodstream just decided not to circulate this morning, you'd be in big trouble, right? We need a healthy circulation. Amen. So the body of Christ is not limited to your small group. Okay, you can't say it's not the body, but that's not the whole experience of the body. And even the body of Christ is not only exhibited and expressed in your local church. It is. But that's not the whole body. So it's good to circulate. It's good to blend. So, my experience, there's two ways of blending. One is like we're experiencing here this weekend. Have brothers come in to share with us some riches, some portion of Christ that we don't normally receive. That's a fresh circulation. So even all the churches, we should consider. Do you have brothers come to your locality? Do you have brothers come and circulate? You have brothers come to minister, to flow out the divine transmission of Christ, something fresh, something so enjoyable. But another way of circulating is a way that involves all of us, and we all have to consider, is you have to go out. You have to go out, okay? You have to go outside of your own place. It's very comfortable. I like to stay at home. It's very comfortable at home. There's no place like home. Especially if you get sick, you'd rather be at home. Okay? But you can't get the same kind of benefit just sit at home all the time. So you have to go out. You have to circulate. So in the Lord's recovery, there are so many opportunities to circulate. So you should ask yourself, I'd like to ask you, when's the last time you went out? We went and circulated, right? Actually, this time I so enjoyed. After the conference was over, I went circulating a little more. I went to visit some other localities in Taiwan. And that was so profitable, not only to meet the saints in Taiwan, but even on the bus, sitting with saints, even from the U.S., who I don't normally blend with. It was so enjoyable. There was these four older sisters from Atlanta. All their names began with the letter B. There's Betty, there was Barbara, there's Beverly. I can't remember the other one. Anyway, I was so touched. I think at least two or three of these sisters were retired. I thought, wow, this is impressive. Retired sisters just get on the plane and go circulate, right? It's possible. It's possible to go out. Okay, of course, no one can afford to do that every conference or every training. But it's not that hard, and it doesn't cost that much money to go at least once a year. Go out, circulate. If you want to experience a fresh supply of Christ, it's very healthy to circulate. Well, there's a lot of learning when you go and blend. You receive from others. You receive a fresh portion of Christ. You learn how others in other places practice the church life. And you begin to be enlarged and see, wow, Lord, you are working in so many saints all over this earth. It's so valuable to go see, not just read it in a book, but go see it with your own eyes, right? What the Lord is doing in every nation throughout the world is very healthy. So I would encourage you, okay? I didn't go to come back and preach to tell everybody go circulate, but it's so beneficial to go and blend. Okay, so the topic for this time, and we talked about it yesterday, was so precious. And the topic for the weekend was called The Main Contents. The Main Contents of the Lord's Recovery. So we have to think about, we use this phrase of quite a bit. We sing about it. We're in the Lord's recovery. But sometimes we're not too sure. What are we talking about? What is the Lord's recovery? In fact, I've heard some people say, well, they're in the Baptist church, they're in the Lutheran church, we're in the recovery church. As if that's our name. That is not our name.
Amen.
Right? We are not the Lord's recovery church.
Right.
Okay? But the Lord is doing a work among us.
Amen.
The Lord is doing a work of recovery.
Amen.
Recovery means something was lost. Right? Something seeped away. Or got diluted, or became degraded over a period of time. And you can say a few things got lost or degraded. Number one was the truth. The truth. So many precious truths that were delivered to us by the apostles eventually got lost. Then how about the experience of Christ? The proper, healthy, normal experience of Christ as a believer, it got lost. Okay? In fact, these go together. If you don't have the right truth, you don't have the right experience. If your truth is off, your experience is off. So we need a recovery. And number three, how about the proper expression of the Lord's testimony among a group of people on the earth as the body of Christ, the church? We know today, over time, throughout history, in fact, even during Paul's time, Paul began to warn the believers. Even he rebuked the believers, saying, why do you, some say I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of this one or that one. So we know that today, we look around, it's full of division, full of denominationalism, right? Full of believers. In fact, in the United States, still to this day, someone mentioned this, the most segregated day of the whole week in the United States is Sunday, is the Lord's Day. When people of a certain race meet over here, people of another race meet over here. People of this nationality meet over here. People of this language group meet over here. Where is the testimony, the proper, healthy, normal testimony that is described in the New Testament of the one new man? Where only Christ is, no Jew, no Greek. When I was in Taiwan, I did not sense I was in an Oriental church. I did not sense I was in an Asian church. I just felt I was in the one new man.
Amen.
And we're not here. We don't come back here to the U.S. We want to build up an American church. No, that's not what is on the Lord's heart. What is on the Lord's heart is the one new man.
Amen.
Where Christ is all. Right? Do you like to build up a church with people from your race or your nationality? That's not the Bible. That's not the scriptural way. Right? So there needs to be a recovery back to the proper ground of oneness. Like the brothers described last night. Out of Babylon. Out of division. Back to the proper ground of oneness. Where we're living in the triune God who is the essence of our genuine oneness. So I like to just jot down these six items that the brothers gave us. And there's two reasons why we need these main contents. Okay, you should think about, what is the Lord's recovery? What is the real essence? What is the Lord recovering? Right? What is the nature of the Lord's recovery? It involves these six items. So the first one that the brothers covered last night, or yesterday afternoon, was the ground of oneness. Okay, you might want to jot these down, or if you still got your outlines from yesterday, there are the titles of these six messages. These are very precious. You know, recently I've been reading some of the accounts of how the missionaries first went over to China. And then I read what Brother Witness Lee shared about. And on the one hand, Brother Lee always said he's so appreciative of the brothers like Hudson Taylor and the missionaries. You know why? Because they brought the gospel.
Amen.
They brought the Bible. And they brought Christ to the people in China. But one thing was very disappointing. And that is, along with the Bible, with Christ, with salvation, they also brought a slew of different denominations. In fact, I read it myself. All the ones working with Hudson Taylor were free to go and set up whatever kind of denomination they liked, wherever they went. And so there was a mixture. So you think about in the 1920s, when Brother Watchman Nee was raised up, he began to realize this is not what the Bible says. This is not the testimony described in the Bible, right? In the Bible, in Ephesians chapter 4, there's seven ones, right? There's one body, one spirit. Right? We have one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We have one God and Father of all. Where are all these other names and practices and teachings that divide the believers? These are not in the Bible. So the brothers began to do a work of recovery to bring us back to the proper ground. On what basis? We all stand upon Christ as our solid rock, right? Christ is our one foundation. But the basis upon which we meet and enjoy Christ is on the ground of oneness. We meet here this morning not because everybody here is of the same race. That is not the case, right? Or because we all prefer the same language. No. We meet together because we are one with all the members of the body.
Amen.
So we need to treasure, have a view, and treasure this oneness and practice this oneness. And we see yesterday, we saw this is a oneness of the triune God. Amen. So I was telling a brother next to me yesterday, we need to migrate. You know what migrate is? It's when you leave where you are and you go somewhere else. So yesterday we saw we all need to migrate. You know what? We all need to migrate. There's no choice on this one. Okay? Everyone has to migrate. Where? You move out of yourself and into the triune God.
Amen.
Because the problem is not necessarily that you meet in a denomination or you meet in this or that. The problem is yourself.
Amen.
Of myself. Yourself. Yourself, and just like myself, is very divisive. I like this, I don't like that. Right? That's the divisive self. So we need to migrate out of the self into the triune God. The triune God is a triune God of oneness. So we have this testimony, this teaching in the Old Testament when the children of Israel, they had no choice. They had to come to the proper ground of oneness to meet together. In the New Testament, we see the same thing. How could the triune God of oneness be happy with a testimony of division? There is no way. It does not match. So we see in the New Testament that the believers met together not only in God, but also in the city where they lived. They met together as the church in that city. So they practiced. Not only they saw this, not only they had the reality universally, but they practiced this locally, that there was one church in one city. So one burden at this conference was not only we would see this, but we would practice this. And I never heard a definition this like I did this time. You think, what is an overcomer? Overcomer, you might think, you have to do be very spiritual or very strong or very overcoming. But actually, you know what? One way to overcome is to maintain the oneness.
Amen.
Maintain the proper stand. Okay? Which you might think, oh, that's not too hard. Well, in a sense, that's true. When you migrate out of yourself, when you're in the Spirit, when you're in the triune God, it's not too hard. You're just one with the brothers. Okay? So we need to maintain this. And we know over time in the church life, this has been tested many times. In fact, we saw this, we experienced this here several years back, where ones who stood on this ground for many years all of a sudden left this ground, okay, and went back. There's only one other place to be. It's in division. And on this ground of oneness, that's under the all-inclusive blessing, outside of the oneness in division, there's no blessing. And that's just a fact. And I think saints who've been in the church life for a while can testify this is true. We should treasure this. This is not just an objective teaching, but this is a wonderful thing that we need to maintain. Overcomers are those who stand. Take care of your standing. Our standing is in oneness. Okay, so we need to stand in the one new man. Okay, secondly, we saw another very crucial central matter of the Lord's recovery is that the church is an organic body. And this also is very wonderful. Depending on where you came from, I came from somewhere that was not organic at all. It was very organizational, okay, very hierarchical. There was a clergy and there was a lady. And there was a set program every single time I so-called went to church. It was not something living, not something of life. So the church life, the church, is a matter of recovery, that we would be recovered to enjoy the organic body of Christ, which we saw yesterday, is the fullness of the one who fills all in all. So it's not just a matter of saying, I'm in the church, I meet on the ground of oneness. But basically, we have a very rich head, but maybe not too much fullness as far as the body goes. So one problem facing some young people today in the U.S., especially girls, is called anorexia, right? Anorexia. What does that mean? You're afraid to eat. You don't want to eat. So you maintain a really very, very skinny expression. No fullness. We don't want to be anorexic Christians. We want to be eating believers.
Hallelujah.
We want to be those who are enjoying the riches. So I understand one of the very first questions Brother Witness Lee asked when he came to the U.S. in one of the first meetings was, have you eaten Jesus today? So we should ask each other, did you eat the Lord this morning? Right? I like to ask the young people this all the time. Did you eat the manna? Did you get up this morning and eat the Lord? Or did you just get up and run out the door and go to school and go do this and that and you forgot to eat? Okay, if you forget to eat over a period of time, there's no fullness. There's no expression. There's no fullness. There is one who is filling all in all. If we want to be the organic body full of life, full of fullness, then we need to enjoy the riches, right? The unsearchable riches of Christ. So our daily life is very key. We need to enjoy the riches morning by morning, day by day. So we should ask each other, did you eat the word? Did you come to the Lord this morning? Did you eat? We need to enjoy the riches of Christ and we will become the fullness. Like Ronnie shared yesterday, this is the issue. The organic body of Christ, the fullness, is the issue of the divine dispensing. When the Lord is dispensed into us by our eating, then this comes about. There's a fullness. My experience, as you can see, I just eat. And eventually, over time, there's an issue. There's a fullness. Okay? Don't go on a diet. Don't go on a Christian diet. Eat more.
Amen.
Eat more of Jesus.
Amen.
We need to eat more of the Word.
Amen.
Right? The church should be a fullness. Right? We don't want to be here in deadness, legally, just meeting on the ground, the proper ground, yet no riches. No full expression. Okay, number three is one of the main contents is that we need to enjoy the all-inclusive Christ. You think about in the Old Testament, Christ is typified by the ark. There was a period of time among the children of Israel when the ark got separated from the tabernacle. It was very serious. No ark means no testimony. You just have an empty shell. We should be really concerned. Okay? We have the church life. We have the meetings of the church. You might meet in your home. You might meet in a district. You might meet at the hall. Basically, it doesn't matter. If you don't have the ark, it doesn't matter. You just got an empty shell. So we need the reality.
Amen.
We need Christ. We need to experience and enjoy Christ in our daily life.
Amen.
So you think about some of the hymns in our hymnal. I think our hymnal is a real treasure. We should enjoy. Like I like hymn 510. I know it's pretty long, but I always enjoy. I have found the one of peerless worth. Right? My heart does sing for joy. Right? Sing I must, for Christ you have, for Christ I have. Right? Oh, what a Christ have I. So Christ, we should all experience Christ. Christ should be personal, real, intimate, subjective to us in so many aspects. And I just appreciate going to all these conferences and trainings. What happens? You could be going this way or that way, say Christ is here, and you don't even realize for some reason you got going this way. And all of a sudden you go to the conference and, ooh, you get lined up again. You get brought back. Our focus is Christ. We need to enjoy the all-inclusive Christ. So what is Christ? Christ is the one reality of all, right? And the whole message is on the book of Colossians. Christ is described in so many ways. We need to know objectively who Christ is and then subjectively begin to experience him and know him in so many different aspects. So we should pray, Lord, keep me focused on Christ. Keep me enjoying Christ. Even increase my enjoyment of Christ. Right? It's very easy to kind of skimp by or just kind of eat a little nibble, a little bit here and there on the run. But no, we need to enjoy Christ. Christ is so rich. Okay, next one, number four, is that Christ became the life-giving Spirit. All right, the last Adam became the life-giving Spirit. So, in this message, was brought out, you know, without the experience of the life-giving Spirit, God's economy can never be fulfilled. Okay? We know you could use a lot of different words. We enjoy the processed life-giving Spirit. The Lord went through a process to become available. And you think right after the Lord resurrected from the dead, he came and appeared to the disciples, and it says he breathed on them and told them what? Receive. Receive the breath of life. Receive the Spirit. So, I remember participating in one conference. Brother Lee said, no Spirit, no church. More Spirit, more church. So you think, you might think of a lot of different things we need for the practice of the church life. But this particular main ingredient is crucial, right? No Spirit, no church. You think if there was no life-giving Spirit, how could you be regenerated? How could you be renewed? Renewing is by the Spirit. How could you be transformed? We're transformed by the Spirit, right? The Lord's work and his economy takes place by a group of people who enjoy and participate and breathe in and drink the life-giving Spirit. So we need to realize the Lord made himself so available, but we need to participate. We need to drink. We need to breathe. The Lord breathed out, and the Lord said, receive, receive. So day by day, morning by morning, we need to wake up, receive, and enjoy the life-giving Spirit. Okay, number five, is a very good one. It's a key factor, key ingredient. Keep having to remember, what does it say? Oh yeah, the main contents. This is a main content.
Amen.
Okay, you notice the main content, number five, does not say high feelings. Okay? It does not say one main content of the Lord's recovery is excitement. In fact, brother was telling us at the breakfast table this morning, one of the first meetings he went to was a group meeting, and it was not very exciting. Hallelujah. But hopefully there was divine life there. Okay? We're not against getting a little excited now and then. But excitement is not life. Right? Having warm feelings is nice, but it's not life. One time, when we were in DeKalb, we were looking for a big house to meet in. We actually went to a sorority house. And I don't know if Jeff remembers this, when we went there, we walked in, and it was a sorority house, and all the girls were singing these songs. And it was amazing. It was the exact same tune of some of our songs that we sing. And I could tell, just looking at these girls, they were so moved by their singing. But you know what? The singing had absolutely nothing to do with Christ. Okay? But it was nice. It was warm. It gave you a good feeling. But there was no Christ. No life. Okay? Actually, a few weeks ago, we had the college conference in this area. And Brother Ed Marks came and shared with us. The weekend, on one hand, it was glorious. On the other hand, it was not very exciting. Okay? But there was so much life imparted.
Amen.
That when you go home, you're not just going home after a high and crash. But when you go home, you're encouraged to read the Bible, to call on the Lord's name, to read and pray read, and to grow in life. And I told Brother Ed, I'm so thankful that a few years earlier, there was a lot of exciting times for some of the young people to get together. And you think about it. I was thinking about it. I think it was like a plant. Could you imagine a plant? Maybe I won't use this. But you think about a plant. You can say you take a plant. A plant is a living organism. You can take the plant and put it next to your radio or your computer or iPad or whatever you use, play music, and you get, come on, plant, enjoy it. And you can even pick up the plant and shake it up and down, okay? But after a while, if the plant could speak, this plant might say, could you just give me some water? So we had a period of time when things looked like, wow, really so exciting. Everybody's, wow, woo! You know, they're really moving. You know, it's really exciting outwardly. But I would say there was a shortage of water, shortage of life. And I remember once Brother Benjamin shared with us, especially during times of turmoil, what is so key? Not how excited you have been, but have you taken the way of life? Are you growing in life? Right? Do you come to the Lord in the morning and eat the living word, right? And enjoy Christ day by day. Is this life growing in you, right? We all want to be saved in life. We want to walk in newness of life, right? We want to learn how to reign in life. So, in the New Testament, this is a very key matter. In fact, when we came, if you look on your outline from last night on page 16, the verse is on Roman numeral 2. It says, God gave to us what? Eternal life. Where is this life? This life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son does not have the life. Actually, it was these very verses that brought me to the Lord initially when I got saved. Someone asked me, "Are you a Christian?" And I said, "Well, I believe in God. I go to church. I do good deeds. I'm a nice guy." But apparently those four things didn't quite cut it. Didn't quite work. Right? Believing in God is good. But the question is, do you have the Son? Right? Going to church, nobody's opposed to going to church. But do you have Christ? Not how many churches you've been to or how many meetings or services or masses or whatever. It's do you have Christ?
Amen.
Right? Are you a nice guy? That's not in the Bible. It's do you have the Son? Okay? Do you do good deeds? Good deeds should come, but it should be an issue of the life that you enjoy.
Amen.
So the main question is, do you have Christ?
Amen.
So that question got posed to me, and I began to consider, and I thought, well, I got all these other things. I'm not so sure I have Christ. And so I prayed to receive Christ.
Amen.
And Christ started to become my life.
Amen.
Right? I became a child of God. So that's our beginning. But you think about Matthew 7 says we need to enter in through the narrow gate and walk in the constricted way. And there's few who find the way of life. So we all need to really consider, how is our experience of life? Are we growing in life? Are we partaking of life? Is this life having more and more ground in us? Okay, then the last one we come to this morning, and I like this one. It's on the divine revelation of the Word. Okay, it's, as you notice in the title, it's not just the Word of God. It's the divine revelation of the Word of God. Okay? People have all kinds of, not divine, but natural. Not revelation, but natural concepts or natural understandings of the Bible. Okay? The Bible, right? The last point says, God has given to us the gift of eternal life. We also have another very wonderful gift. The real treasure is the Word of God. Okay, but the Word of God needs to be unveiled. We need divine revelation to know and understand the truths, to be enlightened in our understanding. And not only that we would have a proper teaching or theology, but even as the outline describes here this morning, that we need to know what the essence of the Word is, right? We're not just reading the black and white letters, right? But in John 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word," what? "Was God." So the reality of the Word, it's just God. Okay, we don't worship the black and white pages of the Bible. We don't say that that physical Bible is God. But we do say the reality of the Word is God Himself, the essence of this Word. In fact, the Bible says that all Scripture is God-breathed. Right? That's the very essence of the Bible. And also says that the Word is our spiritual milk and our bread of life. So the Word is something very organic, something very enjoyable. So how about let's read Roman numeral 1 on the divine revelation on message 5. Let's read Roman numeral 1 together. Okay? Okay, go.
The Lord's recovery is not an ordinary Christian work. The Lord's
Okay, you have to say, out from the divine revelation of the Word, these crucial central matters have come forth. And these are related to the heart's desire of God. Right? These are not just something that, these are the key teachings in the Lord's recovery. No, these are the central matters out of God's heart that we would appreciate, enjoy, and maintain these central matters in the Lord's recovery. Amen. So our brother Ronnie will continue.
I really enjoy what Brother Marty have shared, and I'm so happy to follow him. You know, the Lord's recovery is so precious to all of us, and the topic of this conference is on the main points. There are many points, but there are some points that are main points, and we are only covering this time all the main points. You know, from the day one, from the first day of the Lord's recovery among us 90-some years ago, the Lord has raised up Brother Nee, and the Lord has raised up all of us as a testimony of something that you may be surprised. The Lord has raised us up as a testimony of the Word of God. From day one, Brother Nee, by the Lord's mercy, spent time in the Word, forsaking all the religious backgrounds and coming back purely to the Word of God. So much so that in China, 90 years ago, 80 years ago, there was a reputation among us in the Lord's recovery. And that is, we are people who know the Word of God. I see many from China. You probably heard of a very useful servant of the Lord, in particular in the gospel preaching, by the name of Dr. John Song. One time he told people, he said, if you want to find a person who is absolutely given crazy for the Lord, that's me. Him, John, Brother John Song. Probably there's a lot of truth to it. But if you want to know the Bible, if you want to know the truth, he was honest. Don't come to me. You have to go to Watchman Nee. So that is our testimony from day one, that we are people of the Word of God. We are people who know the Word of God. Thank the Lord that for 90-some years, the Lord has surely been merciful toward us. Let me tell you something. I like to read church history a lot. I have yet to find a group of people who for 90-some years have not fallen from the truth that were committed to their forefathers, to the leaders. There's just no such thing from my reading of the Bible and church history. The Brethren was raised up around 1826-27. By 1848, they were already in some trouble. And the ensuing decades, the Brethren gradually lost a lot of the truth that the Lord has committed to them. So that only lasted 20, 30 years. Or if you're generous, 30, 40 years. I read all those, well not all, but some of those debates between the Brethren in the 1850s and 60s. You can see they lost much of the truth that the Lord has committed to them. No doubt the Lord was still recovering through some other brothers among the brethren assembly. But overall, basically, their golden years was 20, 30 years. There are just no group that I can tell from church history where for 90-some years have been preserved in the truth and in the Word of God. In fact, I can easily make a case that the Lord has gone on. Brother Lee laid the foundation. Brother Lee never wandered from that foundation. But he surely dug deeper into the Word of God, as Brother Lee has taught us and told us to do. And so, until the last few years of Brother Lee's life, the Lord has brought our brother to the high peak of the divine revelation. On the foundation, on the basis, on the shoulder of Brother Lee and the previous saints, including the brethren, and especially the brethren, Brother Lee has certainly gone on to much greater heights as far as the revelation and understanding of the Word of God is concerned. Last evening, I told you to read 1984, right? By the way, about 10 years ago, two brothers told us two things. One brother was Brother Andrew Yu. He told us to read 1984. That's 1,984 life study messages. If you read one a day, you'll finish it in 5 years, four months, and a few days. Around the same time, in the co-workers meeting, I don't know if you remember, Jim, Bill, Brother Benson told us to read 347. You know what's 347? You don't, Brother Howard? 347 is the number of messages in the high peak of the divine revelation, the crystallization studies. And so, I basically have read 1984. So I listened to Brother Benson. I start reading 347. You know, I thought that after reading 1984, not bad. Quite good, right? Let me tell you something. Once I start reading 347, I realize I don't know the Word of God. In the light that is higher, richer, deeper, I realize that my understanding previously, after reading 1984, was still rather shallow and inadequate. So, brothers, I encourage you, read 1984 and then read 347. Brother Lee said, if you read 1984, you will have a bachelor's degree in the Lord's recovery. But if you have to you have read the 347, by the way, that's only 1 year, right? You read one a day, that's only 1 year. Then you have a PhD. Brothers, sisters, let me ask you. You know, I have not been here. This is the first time in 38 years in the church and the churches in the Chicago area. How many people here with a bachelor's degree? I don't mean from Chicago, University of Chicago or Northwestern or DePaul. Oh, no. I'm talking about in the Lord's recovery. I'm thinking if I should be so bold as to ask you to raise your hands, but maybe I shouldn't. I don't want to embarrass anyone. Right? We all know no nation can be strong unless its citizens are well-educated, go to university, at least have a bachelor's degree, right? Well, how strong are the churches in the Chicago area? Depends on how many people have a bachelor's degree in the Lord's recovery. Isn't that true? You know, I have a brother who is also a co-worker in the Lord's recovery. Bill, you and Jim, you know him well. He's much smarter than his brother. My brother is far smarter than his brother. And when he was 21 years old, he got his bachelor and master's degree from UCLA with high honor. Not bad. He published articles in scientific journals before he was 21. Then he transferred to Harvard. You know what he told me? He said the first semester, he almost flunked out. He didn't know that when you're at a higher level, you really have to study. So he said he has to start studying in the second semester. Then he made it. Right, brothers, sisters? Let me tell you. If you have not finished reading 1984, thank the Lord's recovery is not committed in your hands. If not, the truth that the Lord has given Brother Nee and Brother Lee will be dissipated in your hands. Right? But today, you know, from the day Brother Watchman Nee started serving the Lord in 1922 until the day Brother Witness Lee went to be with the Lord in 1997, there was exactly 75 years. Thank the Lord that in 75 years, the Lord's recovery, as far as the revelation of the Word of God is concerned, as far as the truth is concerned, as far as our appreciation and understanding of the Bible is concerned, has not gone down one bit. That was the Lord's great mercy. No other group that I have studied in church history has that. I'll give you another example. Somebody was telling me this morning about A.B. Simpson, Christian and Missionary Alliance, a brother who knows the Lord very, very well. Anybody know who is his successor? No, told us way late. Nobody knows. I happen to know because I study his biography. But the point is not who is the successor. The point is, where is the riches that the Lord has committed to a brother A.B. Simpson? Let me tell you another story. One time my wife and I were walking down the street in Hong Kong. There was a Christian Missionaries Alliance bookstore. So we walk inside, I bought a Chinese hymn book, and then when I got home, I look at the back, it says all the hymns, who wrote it. I counted the number of hymns of A.B. Simpson. If I remember correctly, it was something like 11. Then I opened our hymn book, Brother Jim. I counted them, and we have about 32, 33. And then I looked at all the hymns that was in their hymn book. It was the simple stuff from A.B. Simpson. You look at the ones in our hymn book. Those are the much deeper ones by A.B. Simpson. So one time, one of the leading brothers in Hong Kong and I hosted dinner for the president of the top seminary in the Chinese language world. And he has a Christian Missionary Alliance background. And we were fellowshipping wonderfully. We had a good time. And at the end, and I told him, I said, you know, the 11 hymns in your hymn book versus 33 in ours, and the deeper ones such as da-da-da, you don't have it there, da-da-da, you don't have it there. At the end, he said, you know, brothers, the local church are more Christian and Missionary Alliance than the Christian Missionary Alliance. Where are the riches of A.B. Simpson today? I hate to say it so loudly. Much of it is in the Lord's recovery. Amen. That's the Lord's mercy. Amen. Right? By the way, the other pastor was another leading pastor that day, and he used to be the one who translated for Billy Graham when Billy Graham came to Hong Kong to preach the gospel, so you know that he's a Christian leader. And his comment at the end of our fellowship was, you are more Baptist than the Baptist. I think Brother Lee would be very happy to hear that, right? Two top Christian leaders told us that we are more Baptist than the Baptist and more about Christian and Missionary Alliance than the A.B. Simpson's followers. What does that mean? That means all the truths today are in the Lord's recovery. By the Lord's mercy, Brother Lee did not fail, did did not fall from what Brother Nee has committed to us. And I would like to think, Jim, Bill, I don't know if you agree. I think by the Lord's mercy, in the last 17, 18 years since our brother went to be with the Lord, I like to think that for the most part, we have not fallen in a matter of the truth. Look at the seven feasts. Look at the outlines. Feast after feast. Somehow I feel that when Brother Lee was with us, I didn't appreciate. I did appreciate, but not as much as today. That must mean something about the Lord's recovery, that by the Lord's mercy, in the Lord's recovery, we have maintained the high peak of the divine revelation. We've enjoyed the revelation that our brothers have committed to us. That is the Lord's great mercy.
Amen.
But let me say a word to the young brothers. Will you be able to continue in the same way? Will you one day fall? I'm not as senior as Brother Jim, 84, nor Bill, 78, but I'm 60 some. Sooner or later, you young brothers and sisters will be carrying the torch of the Lord's recovery. Will the word of God be discounted in your hands? Or will you and your generation enjoy, appreciate, understand, living out all the high peak of the divine revelation as we ought to? That is my prayer and concern before the Lord these days. And if you have not finished 1984, brothers, you have already fallen. The good thing is, you can catch up. You're not 84 yet. You still have time. I have time. So you have time. Right? And after 1984, you better read 347. Recently, the Lord impressed me. Ronnie, it's about time to reread the 347. Start from the beginning again. Take another year out and reread all the crystallization studies. I'm sure I will enjoy the Word of God even more than the last time. So brothers, young brothers and sisters, may the Lord's recovery not fail in your hands. However, when we say that the Lord has committed the truth, the revelation of the Word of God to Brother Nee and Brother Lee, we have to have a further understanding. And that is, historically, the Word of God is basically, in church history, something rather objective to God's people. But what the Lord has shown our brothers, Brother Nee, Brother Lee, is that with us, the Word must not be just objective. Yes, there is an objective aspect. You should be able to, as Brother Lee once challenged us, share with us what is sanctification according to the Word of God. The three aspects of sanctification with all the appropriate verses. We need to be objectively competent to share those things. But with us, the Word of God is never meant to be just objective. With us, the Word must be subjective. The Word must become us. The Word must be constituted into our being, into our living, that becomes our life and our living. That is something that is most precious in the Lord's recovery. You know, I can simplify church history in this way for you. Of those who follow the Lord, there are basically two lines. One line is the line of the truth, such as the brethren. Marvelous. And there's another line. That is the line of the subjective experience of Christ as life, such as Madame Guyon, such as William Law, such as A.B. Simpson, such as Hudson Taylor, such as Jesse Penn Lewis, such as Andrew Murray, many, right? It seems that in church history, these two lines are parallel lines. Remember high school mathematics? When you have two parallel lines, they never meet. In church history, it seems that never ever has there been a group of people where the truth in the Word of God, the Bible, and the experience of Christ as life to us in a subjective way is altogether blended as one. If you were to ask me, what is Brother Nee's contribution in church history? I would say that's one of them. He learned the truth from many others, from the brethren, from the Robert Gavette and others, and he learned the experience of Christ as life in a subjective way through Jesse Penn Lewis and many others, as I mentioned. And yet, by the Lord's grace, our brother Nee was able to put the two together. To us, these are not two things. To us, these are two aspects of the same thing. Or to be more accurate, these are two aspects of the same person. I remember one time I was in a meeting in London. And that must be 1993 or thereabout. And for the previous few years, the Lord has been impressing upon me that truth and life are not two different things. They're really one. I dare not say it because I don't remember Brother Nee saying it. Nor do I remember Brother Lee saying it. And that was elders and co-workers, elders and responsible brothers training in London. Were you there, Ken?
I was not in that one.
Okay, anyway. Oh, you missed a good one. Brother Ron was sharing. And up to a certain point, he said, brothers, truth and life are not two. Truth and life are one. Truth is the expression, the manifestation, and even definition of God. Whereas life is just Christ himself. Life is just the content of God, the substance of God. Wow, when I heard that, I said, wow. Brother Ron, you are really bold. You said it better than what I am impressed with. But at least in essence, in direction, that's exactly what I've been convinced of in my own study of the Word of God. So I wrote an email to Brother Ron. I said, Brother Ron, where did you get that? Within 2 days, he wrote me back. In this book of Brother Lee, that chapter, that page, Brother Lee said that. I was so happy. Now I can say it. Hallelujah. Truth and life are not two things. Truth and life are just two aspects of one thing, one person. To us, brothers, the Word of God must be living and subjective. The Word of God should be spirit and life to us, such that he is our experience. I agree with Brother Marty. It's not the black and white pages. We don't call that the God. But the divine word, divine revelation that is embodied in the black and white, that certainly is the Word of God. And as a brother quoted, the Word is with God and the Word is God. So today, brothers, in the Lord's recovery, we take the Word not just in an objective way. You have to take it in an objective way by reading 1984 and 347, plus many other ministries. But not just that. Every one of those messages must become subjective to you. It must become spirit and life to you. That's why yesterday I encouraged you all, read it slowly. Read it slowly, exercising your spirit over the Word of God, every page. Then the outward word will become spirit and life to you. It will bring you into all the rich experiences of Christ. You know that Brother Lee called the Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians the heart of the Bible, right? And we know that these books speak much about the rich experiences of Christ, right? Rooted in Him, grounded in Him, right? Walk in Him, right? Christ, living in your heart. Well, have you ever noticed that those four books that emphasize the experience of Christ so much are the four books where one word and derivatives of that one word appear again and again? You know what is that word? Knowledge. Knowing. Know. Understanding. Right? The understanding of your heart needs to be open. You need to have the full knowledge of Christ. Right? The books that talk so much about experiencing Christ are the books, the very books, who emphasize knowing, knowledge, understanding. What does that mean? That means our knowing of the truth as open through the ministry will lead you into the real experiences of Christ. How does Christ make His home in your heart? By your knowing. But the knowing, obviously, is not like in John 5:39, those Pharisees, the lawyers, the scribes, right? Who search the scripture but would not come to the living Christ. So today, in the Lord's recovery, what is our main content? Our main content is, on the one hand, the Word of God. On the other hand, this Word must become spirit and life to us. We must exercise our spirit over the Word of God so that the Word of God will become the living Christ in us. The Word of God must convey the divine, eternal life to us. How does that happen? It doesn't happen if you just say it in your mind. Right? No doubt we need to use our mind. That's why we encourage young people to go to university. And when you graduate from university, come to the full-time training, right? Amen. So you have to, if you don't have a degree, you don't get to come to the full-time training. But on the other hand, just the mind itself is not sufficient. We must exercise our spirit, but in a specific way. Not just calling on the name of the Lord. That's good. But we have to exercise our spirit over the Word of God. Until the Word becomes spirit to you. Until the Word becomes life to you. Until the Word is living within you. All Scripture is God-breathed. Every time you read the Word, you have to have the deep inner sense that I'm not just reading with my head and my eyes. As I'm reading, I'm breathing in God Himself. Right? The Scripture is God breathed. What does God breathe? God breathed Himself into us. Right? John 20, verse 22. The Lord, on the night of resurrection, came to the disciples and breathed into them and said,
receive the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is just the consummated triune God. So when you touch the Word of God, the Scripture is God breathed. What does God breathe out? The Holy Spirit. What does God breathe out? Himself. The triune God is today breathed into us through the Word of God. All Scripture is God breathed. So when you read the Word, you have to exercise your spirit. When you exercise your spirit, then you breathe in not just the Word of God, but God Himself. Right? That's why I thank the Lord for prayer reading. Let me tell you something. Many of you were not in the church life in Los Angeles in the 60s, as Brother Jim was, and I was there also for a number of years. In those days, every meeting, we pray read the Word of God. Morning revival, we pray read the Word of God. In every meeting, we pray read the Word of God. Even in the prayer meeting, we use some verses to pray read, to help us exercise our spirit, to lead us into a higher and richer, stronger prayer. Let me tell you, today, if there is any constitution of the Word of God in me, the foundation was laid in those early years. Not just by my own reading of the Word. Of course you have to read that. And you won't understand it. So you need a ministry. So you need to read also the ministry, right? Of course we did that. But more than that, beyond that, learn to pray read the Word of God. Don't make prayer reading into a form. Don't make it into a method. No, prayer reading is simply to exercise your spirit over the Word of God. Amen. How do you do it? I don't care how you do it. Just do it. Amen. You pray read fast, you pray read slow. Sometimes you do it this way, sometimes you do it that way. I don't care. Just exercise your spirit over the Word of God. Amen. Two things will happen. Number one, the Word of God will become living in you. Without knowing it, the Word will shine within you. The Word will be open to you. I can testify today, every day when I read the Bible, the Bible jumps off the page. Every day, the Word is so rich. Why? Because, Brother Jim, in the 60s, we pray read so much that we have formed a habit, you may say. Whenever I come to the Word of God, I cannot help but exercise my spirit. I don't need to remind myself to exercise my spirit. Brother Lee has drilled it into us. Meeting after meeting, we just pray read the Word of God, such that even when I read it myself, you just cannot help but exercise your spirit over the Word of God. Amen. Then the Word will come alive. Then the light will shine within you. That's the first thing. The second thing, in your daily life, the Word will come back in a living way. Even without knowing it. You don't even equate the morning revival, what your prayer read, with what the Lord's speaking during the day. But the Word does come back. And the Lord will operate in you through the Word and with the Spirit every day. And that operating of the Spirit through the Word in you will transmit, will dispense the triune God into us. Today we talk about the dispensing of the triune God. But how do you do it? The triune God is everywhere. The triune God is... How do you do it? How do you get the triune God into you? Don't just make it into a phrase that we use. Dispense of the triune God, dispense of the triune God. How do you get dispensed? Well, the way is simple. Open the Bible. Amen. Right? Open the Bible. And don't just open the Bible But exercise your spirit as you open the Bible. Right? Then, my, the transmission of the great power will be to you.
Amen.
Right? The triune God will be dispensed into us as we touch the word of God in our spirit.
Amen.
Brothers, sisters, with that, the word of God will become so living to you. The word of God will jump off the page to you. The word of God will affect your life, and the word of God will affect your living. So, young brothers, learn to pray, read. Exercise your spirit every day over the word of God. Then the word of God will become subjective to you, and will come so rich to you. And so, the second point I want to cover, the first point, of course, is the word of God. Oh, by the way, let me say one more thing. You know, church history is full of people who read the word of God. Thank the Lord for that. Full of people who love the word of God. But how many of them understand the word of God? Maybe understand a little here, understand a little there, probably not so complete, or maybe even a little erroneous, right? And certainly with not much depth. So, church history tells us, you're reading the Word of God alone, 99.99999%, I'm sure, you will not understand it. Or at least you'll understand very little, right? So what do we do? What do we do? Right. Brother Marty, you're right. Read the ministry. Right? What does the ministry do? The ministry just opens the word of God to us. Right? Today I can testify, every day when I read the Bible, my, the word of God is alive and jump off the page. Why? Not because I'm good, but because I have 1984.
Amen.
Right? I have 347. Right? The word will be open to you through the ministry. Then you need one more thing. After you read the ministry, then what do you do? Number one, you read the Bible, right? Every day, every one of us in the Lord's recovery must read the Bible. How much? I don't know. You decide before the Lord. One chapter, half a chapter, three chapters, you decide before the Lord. But every one of us in the Lord's recovery should read the Word of God every day, okay? Number two, you should read the life study messages, the ministry, right? Because they help open the Word of God to us. Then what's number three? What do you do after that, Kevin? Well, that's reading the Word. Read the Bible, number one. Number two, read the ministry. And then number three, let me tell you what. Read the Bible again. Why? Read again. You need a pen, right? I have a pen here. You can have a pen. After you finish, hey. Give it back to me, right? It's mine, it's not yours. You borrow it, roll a few things. Now, what does Ken have now? Oh, a few words on the paper. But he doesn't have a pen. Right? You know what? Many of us treat the ministry that way. You borrow from Brother Lee. You borrow from Watchman Nee. Well, it's better than not borrow. But you have to give it back. And once you give it back, as if not much remains within you. I encourage you to read the 1984, the 347, and then read the Word, the Bible, again. I asked some saints the question. I said, have you ever written footnotes? You know, Brother Lee said, we should write outlines book by book in the Bible, right? I said, hey, brother, you already did it. Why do I need to do it? Brother, he said, well, just do it. It's good for you. Right? So let me ask you a question. Have you written footnotes? In the process. I hope the process is fast, Ken. Good. Well, you don't know after you read the ministry whether it is yours or not until you reread the Bible and you see exactly what is in the ministry yourself.
Amen.
You follow me? I don't want to see all kinds of strange things. No, 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 no. I don't want to wander beyond what Brother Nee and Brother Lee have committed to us. But I surely want to see everything that our brothers have seen. Right? So by reading the Bible after reading the ministry, may the Lord grant us the rich seeing as our Brother Nee and Brother Lee did. We read the Bible. We see God's economy.
Amen.
You know, at the end of this message, there are 5 points, right? The 5 major points, right? The dispensing, the God-man, you know, right? And our mingling and so forth. Brothers, sisters, why do you not get so much in your own reading of the Bible? Because it's not open to you. So you need the help of the word of the ministry. But don't stop there. If you stop there, you're still lazy. After that, go back to the Word. Go back to the Bible. And you have to see all the things, the main items of the Lord's recovery. Right? As our brother Lee did. Then there is some assurance that perhaps you've gotten it. You have some assurance that perhaps that's yours. To keep and not just borrow from Brother Lee and return it to Brother Lee. Right? So I encourage you, young brothers, young sisters, read the Bible. You won't understand much, but it's okay. Read it anyway. Right? And then read the ministry. It will open up the Word of God to you. And then you reread the Bible yourself. Right? And may the Lord grant you the revelation.
Amen.
As our brother have seen and written in all the ministry books.
Amen.
Right? Then perhaps we will have the beginning of some constitution of the Word of God in us. Right? And surely the Lord's Word will become living to you. Surely in your daily life, the Lord will affect your life. I'm so happy that there's so many young brothers and sisters here. I told you yesterday that I learned in the Lord's recovery all the basic things before I was 30, right? Let me tell you one step further today. You know, before you're 30, you have so many things in life, right? Go to university or not? If you go to university, which university to go to? What to study? What to major? What not to study? Oh, I fought the Lord on that. But anyway, right? And then after you graduate, what do? Go to the full-time training first. Go get a master's first, right? And then while you are in a full-time training, you're not supposed to, what do you call it? Court a sister or brother, right? But there's nothing that says that you cannot see and think. Oh, gosh. I know the story. It's the same everywhere. Taiwan, Anaheim, Hong Kong, India. It's the same thing, right? They don't do it outwardly, but inwardly, oh, the eyes are open, and right? How do I know? Because after the training is over, so many couples get married suddenly. It's okay. It's not bad. It's quite good. It's very good, right? Or you don't have as easy a time finding a sister. The one you like your roommate, not you. The one you don't like, likes you. Oh, troublesome. Right? So many things before you're 30. Right? Finally, you struggle through it. The Lord give you a sister. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Finally, I made it. Right? And then you have children. Do you serve full time? You go to Boston. Or you get a job. You got a master's degree. Oh, so many things. So many, 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 many things. Right? By the time you get to, you don't need to get to Bill's age. You just get to my age. He's 70, you're 80, I'm 60-something. Right? You get to my age, life is pretty steady. Everything is done. I got my wife. I got my kids. They're now older. They're finished with university. They're working, right? Some even have, one even have a girlfriend, most likely to become my future daughter-in-law, I don't know. So most of the things are basically done, right? Well, young brothers, young sisters, you have so many things. Don't waste them. Every one of those situations is an opportunity for God to work himself into you. But without the Word of God, without the living Spirit within you, God's work within you will be rather slow. Right? So while you're having all those problems I described, what to study, who, you know, which sister, should I go to full-time training, and which sister, and this and that, in the midst of all that stuff, make sure you read the Word of God.
Amen.
Read 98:84. Exercise your spirit, right? Learn to serve in the church. Then, all those outward circumstances, the Lord will be able to work in you.
Amen.
All those circumstances will not be wasted opportunities.
Amen.
All those opportunities will become opportunities for the Lord to work himself into you.
Amen.
Then the word will become so subjective to you. Then the truth and the life in you will become one.
Amen.
Okay, now finally, let me just share one more point. You know, let's read Roman numeral 2, A, 1 and 2. Okay? The front page. Roman numeral 2, and then A, and then 1 and 2. Let's read those. We need to know the essence of the Word of God. A. All Scripture is God-breathed. The Word of God is the divine breath, the breathing out of God. God's speaking is God's breathing, too. On God's side, the Word of God is breathing. On our side, the Word is for us to receive as our prophet in teaching, conviction, correction, and instruction in righteousness. You know, I never understand that verse. For decades, I just never understand that word. Until the Lord one day showed me. The Word of God is for teaching, is for convicting, is for instructing in righteousness, right? Then the Lord reminded me, what did Brother Lee do in those 30 years that I've been observing him? I met him the first time in December 66, and he went to be with the Lord in June 1997. For those 30 years, I've been observing this man. What did he do? What did he do? Number one, he's a man in the Word of God.
Right.
I know that, right? He says that in the morning, he doesn't want to wake up Sister Lee when he got up early, so he's lying in bed, and the Word of God just comes, right? And the whole day, he worked with Sister Felisa, or Brother Ron, Brother Ed, whoever, right? On the Word of God. At night, he comes and ministers the Word of God, right? So he's a man in the Word of God. That I know. But what did he do? What did he do every day? The Lord reminded me. You know, Brother Lee, every day was teaching us. He taught us about everything. He taught us about not just the Word of God, but the Word of God in your life, the Word of God in the church life, the Word of God in the coordination, the Word of God in the services. He taught us so many things. You know, I was reminded recently of a book that Brother Lee gave. You and I were both sitting there, Jim. And that is called How to Meet. Right? You know, Brother Lee is an expert on meetings. You know that? You probably never thought of it. Brother Lee is a top expert in how to meet. He taught us how to meet. Everything relating to the meeting. How to set the chairs. Oh, let me tell you something. I go to some of the churches. I look at the way they set the chairs. I know this church cannot be that strong. You know, in 1950, Witness Lee came to Hong Kong. Later he told us. He said before he walked into the meeting hall, he looked at the doorbell. He knows the church in Hong Kong is something short. He walked in. He looked at the piano. You know, the church in Hong Kong. Oh. He looked at the curtain. He told us that. I don't even remember, Brother Jim. I remember, I'm very sensitive because I'm from Hong Kong, you know. I remember very well. Oh, I go to some churches. I look at the way they arrange the chairs. I said, no wonder your meeting is weak. Just because you didn't listen to Brother Lee on how to set up the chairs. I'm very sensitive to how to set up the chairs. It's not just because I serve in chair setting. But because Brother Lee taught us. It is not just the outward setting of the chair. No, it is so that the Spirit can operate without hindrance. You set up the chairs wrongly, the Spirit will be hindered. You don't know it. Doesn't mean it doesn't exist. You're just ignorant. You're just not learned, that's all. Oh, Brother Lee was, John, you probably set chairs under Brother Lee's leadership. Well, I hope you know how to set chairs today. I go to some places. I look at the way oh, by the way, yesterday when I came in here for the first time in 37 years, 38 years, huh? I said, yeah, the church in Chicago. Amen. Doesn't mean that, you know, we're good at everything, but at least the leading brothers have some learning. Not just the outward arrangement of the chairs, but something that is an arrangement that is conducive for the Lord speaking. To speak here is not difficult, but let me tell you, some places I go to, oh my, the speaking is difficult. Why? The platform is that high. Yeah, I know. They have a bigger audience. You know, I was in this place with a hall that seats 2,500 people. So you have to have a platform. I understand that. So have a platform. So I asked the brothers, I said, how tall should the platform be? Well, he taught us that. The fact that you are not taught, the fact that you don't know it, doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Really taught us that. Oh, one time I was in Mexico at a conference. High platform. I said, brothers, can you make it lower? I can't speak when it's that high. The brother almost said, you're short. I know that, but with that platform, I'll be looking down on the tallest brother. So I asked the brother, I said, hey, brothers, the leading brothers, you know, these are, you know, I know them, so I don't bother all the saints. But leading brothers, I said, brothers, how tall would the platform be? Have you ever thought of that? Oh, never thought of it. You know how tall should it be? Tall enough so that a short brother like me can see the back if I'm speaking. And not 1 inch taller. Who are you making yourself? Why are you so tall? So high? Soaring above the saints. We're just brothers. Right? You maybe happen to be speaking today, but tomorrow you may not be speaking. Doesn't matter. This brother speak, that brother speak. Right? The platform should be practical, tall enough so that the last row can see you easily. That's good enough. And not a single inch taller. You may say, brother, oh, you're really outward.
There is a spiritual lesson in all these things. And I'm just illustrating, that's all. I'm not trying to lead you into start thinking, oh, how should we have them? No. But brothers, sisters, Brother Lee taught us so many things. How to pray in a meeting. How to have the Lord's table. How to sit. How to pray, read. Brother Lee taught us many things. And Brother Lee said one time, I never forget that. I was a young brother at the time. Brother Lee said, if you are an elder in the church, you should be teaching and teaching and teaching and teaching and teaching will exhaust you. Brothers, how many elders among us are exhausted because of teaching? Of course, the teaching among us is not objective and, you know, doctrinal. Our teaching must be in life by life, right? We know that. But that doesn't mean that you don't teach. Brother Lee said our elders should be teaching and teaching and teaching until it exhausts you. Why is the church not building? Because you have not been teaching the word of God. Right? And you have to convey. When I was young, I thought, whoa, how do you do that? I have to be stronger than this world. That is in the flesh. That accomplished nothing but death. Right? How do you convey? Let me tell you how you convey. When the word of God convicts you within already, then your word will convict others. You're an ambitious brother. The Lord convicts you from within. The Lord dealt with you from within. The word of God, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And you don't see God because you're not pure in heart. You are ambitious. The Lord convicts you within. After the Lord deal with you for 5 years, within you, that word, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That word has been worked into you. That word becomes part of you. Then you see a young brother who is very ambitious, who the elders find him very troublesome. But you love that brother because he reminded you of you. Right? You are gentle with it. You don't go there and say, you are ambitious, you will... No! You will just take him out to eat. Pray with him. Amen. Right? As the Lord leads, have some fellowship. Right? Maybe not even about.
Yeah, right.
Matthew 5:8. Right? You just care for the brothers. But that which the Lord, the teaching through the word of God that has convicted you within is part of you. Then when you, in a gentle way, share with the brother who is so troublesome. Leading brothers don't like those brothers. They have troubles, right? But to you, you love him. Right? And through your gentle fellowship, somehow that which the Lord has deposited in you will be transmitted to that young brother. Amen. And the word will convict him.
Amen.
He go home, he can't sleep at night. Amen. Not because Brother Ken was hitting me on the head. Brother Ken was most gentle toward me. And yet the word of God in Brother Ken's gentle word is convicting me. Right? How much of that is happening in your church? We have to teach. And teach with conviction. Brother Nee says, unless you have been heal of a certain disease, spiritually speaking, you can never heal somebody of the same disease. We're all lepers, Ken. Oh, we have lots of diseases, right? To the extent the Lord has saved you and me from those ills, is what you and I can be used by the Lord to convict others.
That conviction will cause that young brother to get through some serious basic problem within him. Then he changes. Time's up. Yesterday, I talked about healing. What do elders do? Elders should heal. If elders don't know how to heal, you're not an elder. A brother with a spiritual disease come to you. You have to be able to heal him like the Lord did when he was on earth. Right? We have to heal the saints of all kinds of infirmities. How do you do that? By teaching. By convicting. By instructing in righteousness. Right? By the Lord's first having his word work into us, constituted into us in a living way. We will be full of the word of God, right? Even unconsciously, the word of God is gradually, a little by little, constituted into us. Then the Lord will operate in our lives. The Lord will convict us. The Lord will instruct us. Oh, let me tell you, you don't know how many times sitting in Brother Lee speaking, I'm convicted, I'm instructed, I'm taught, right? Then in your daily life, the Lord will operate even more in you. Eventually, that which the Lord has operated into you will become riches of Christ in you.
Amen.
Then you teach, you care for the saints, you fellowship with the younger ones. The saints will be taught.
Amen.
The saints will be convicted. Yeah. Right? The saints will be instructed in the word of God.
Amen.
Right? Then the church will be built up.
Amen.
The first two messages of these 6 points in 5 outlines have to do with the church. The ground of oneness, right? And the church as the organic body of Christ. How do you arrive there? By working backwards. By the word of God, right? Becoming the divine life to you. Through the operating and exercise of the Spirit, by the operating of the life-giving Spirit, through your exercise of the mingled Spirit, right? Then you will experience Christ in a rich way, right? The result of all that, the outcome of all that, praise the Lord, is the church as the organic body of Christ.
Amen.
Then we stand on the oneness, the Lord will have his testimony on earth. Amen. 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 Shall we have some prayer? 2 by 2, huh? Amen.